right. Well, today we're going to continue in our series we call Jumpstart. We started this at the beginning of the year, and we are going to have a great time today. Look at this. We got some things already happening. There you go, guys. You never know what's going to happen around here, so you got to come ready, prepared. We're going to talk about Jumpstart. And we kicked off this series talking about a message called Teach Us to Number Our Days, which comes straight out of what David was talking about when he knew his life was on the line, when he knew that Saul was out hunting him and he was in the back of a cave hiding for his life. He wrote out this thought. He said, God, teach us to number our days. And when we do that, that's the beginning of wisdom. And the very first series of this message, I asked you and challenged you, if you only had 1 year to live, how would you live it different? What would be the things, the goals you would set for this year, knowing this would be your last year to live? And the things that we think are important would probably not be important. And things that we don't spend a lot of time doing right now, value, would suddenly take on more value to us. And so we are learning to number our days. We talked about how to succeed God's way on our job. We talked about letting go and receiving all that God has for us. And we've spent several messages on things, how to conquer the small things in our life, how to live according to God's word. And we're going to talk today about the thought, whose dream are you living? Whose dream are you living? And today I believe this, that we all have dreams, don't we? We all have dreams, and if you're not a dreamer today, you're dead, okay? I'll just tell you that. That's what Scripture says. It says, those who have no vision, those who don't have a vision for their life, they're dead people, man. They're dying. And so it's important as a church. It's important. That's why I shared a couple weeks ago where we're headed, the present directional vision of our church. Even though we say, God, ultimately it's your will. You're steering the ship. God, you're in control here. We still have some short-term present directional vision that God is calling us to work toward this year. And in our own life, we got to have short-term vision. And God, you are preparing me for something greater than myself. And so today we're going to talk about whose dream are you really living? And so I ask you this question because today all of us are dreaming dreams. And I'm going to challenge you about something today. I want to stretch your thinking and your imagination. No matter what you're thinking about, no matter what you're dreaming about, God's dreams are bigger and broader and more unbelievable than we could ever dream and come up with on our own. We can never dream the dreams that God has for us. We can never imagine on our own that we could accomplish what God really wants to do in our life. We can never see ourselves doing the thing that God really has planned for our life. If we could really see what God would like to do in our life, man, it would scare you. It would scare me. We say, I'm not qualified to do that. I could never do that. And so our dreams, and we limit ourselves to our infinite dreams, our small dreams, our minute dreams, and we take the things that we're taught from a very young society and things that are inbred in us. This is the American dream. This is your dream. And we take these things and we live that dream out of our life. And God says, no, that's not dreaming. That's conforming. God has never called you and I to conform. God has never called you and I to dream small dreams. He's a God who created the universe, who hung the stars in the universe. He's the God who created the heavens and the earth. Listen, he's a creative God. He's a God, a genius, who we cannot even comprehend. His ways are higher than our ways. His thinking is beyond our thinking. And God says, I want to give you a dream that'll blow you away. I want to give you a dream that will just rattle your thinking, and you can't even comprehend it. And so there's a dream stretching that God wants to do in our life. There's this thing that God is doing in us that he's wanting to do. Didn't you just love the Olympics that would happen shortly back, the Summer Olympics? I mean, I love the Olympics, and one of the most exciting things is when they're standing up there at the end receiving their medals, you know, and they're playing their national anthem, and tears are flowing down their face, and they interview them, and they say, I'm living the dream, man. I'm living the dream. That's what they say. I'm living the dream, because who could ever thought that I would become the best person in the world at this one event? And they are living the dream, and they're up there crying. And, you know, I love the Olympics because it inspires you. And you ever notice during Olympic time, when it's happening, all kinds of people are out running. You know, they're inspired, aren't they? I mean, these people are riding around on bicycles and wearing shorts they shouldn't be wearing. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, they're going. I mean, people are inspired. I mean, there's something about being inspired about a dream. I mean, dreams are inspiring, and God says today, I want to stretch and get your thinking beyond yourself. I want you getting thinking beyond where you're at. God is a God who dreams, and he wants us to log on to his dreams. He wants you to log on to www.godsdream.com. I mean, he's wanting you to be there. Now, don't go there, because I don't know what's there, okay? Some of you say, I can write that down right now. That's good, that's good. I just made that up, okay? So whatever's there, I don't know what's on that website, so just Go at your own risk, okay? But the problem I have is this tendency is so we are both natural born sinners, aren't we? It says that every one of us falls short of the glory of God. Every one of us have sin in our life. And so we have the sin thing that tends to creep in and keep us from dreaming the dreams and seeing beyond what God wants us to think. His righteousness wants to move us to a new dimension, to a higher level in what he is. But God says this, that I want to stretch you there, but because of our sin nature and our man nature, we want to limit what God can do in our life. And so we got to get beyond that. We got to allow God to stretch us and become the person that he has for us in his way. God's dream is all about the advancement of the good news of the gospel. Isn't that a good way to measure what God is doing? Is it your dream? You can say this. Your dream will advance your agenda. God's dream. How do you know it's God's dream? Because it advanced the gospel. God's dream will always lead ultimately to the advancement of the gospel. And so if you want to know, am I dreaming a godly dream? Is it what you're doing, dreaming, going to ultimately lead to help advance the gospel? Is it going to put you in a position where you can help advance the gospel? Is it going to put you in a place where you can be a vocal in your testimony? Is it going to put you in a place of influence? Is it going to put you in a place where you can give and fund ministry? Is it going to put you in a place where you can be a blessing to you so you can bless others? There's an ultimate thing that God has for us is God's dream. Let me quickly give you the acronym for dream that I have here. But first of all, we realize this, that all dreams start with God. We got to memorize that. All dreams start with God. God is the author of all dreams. And we take this word dream and we can just kind of look at it as an acronym and see, first of all, the D stands for what? Development. Developing. That God is wanting to develop in us a dream that causes us to develop and become the person he is calling us to be. God is always developing, depositing things in us, dropping dreams in us all around us. God is ultimately doing that. We're going to talk about Genesis chapter 15 in a few minutes about Abraham. And, man, this guy, he was a billionaire. He was a billionaire upon billionaire upon billionaire. He was one of the richest guys that ever walked the planet of the earth. And he was Bill Gates kind of money, man. This guy was out there, man. And God says, listen, that's nothing. I want to blow your mind off. I want you to stretch your dreams. We're going to talk about him in just a little bit. But the R stands for righteousness. It's a righteous dream. God's dreams are righteous. They will lead you to walk a path of righteousness. They will help you walk a path of purity. They will help you walk in a righteousness that God, a path of holiness that God has called you and I to walk in. E, they will engagement. This is the engagement part. It will cause us to engage in the dream. It will cause you to do something. It will cause you to want to get out and not be passive, but to be proactive and be a part of what God's doing. The A is about anticipation. I mean, when God gives you a dream, you want to anticipate. God is doing something, and I can't wait to get up tomorrow to see what else God's going to show me. I can't wait to get up and see what God's going to do. You're anticipating what God's going to do next. That's the way it is here at Destiny Church. I don't know what's going to happen week to week sometimes. My God, I'm so excited to see who you're going to send next week, who's going to be here this week, and what's going on, places we're going and doing. It's all about God. The M stands for momentum. You know, you create momentum in your life. The God, when you have a godly dream, it's the power of living the dream. It's the dream in me that causes momentum to happen in my life. But today, let's talk about this word dream and things that we have. How many know today that we use God stickers? Anybody ever heard of God stickers? Let me kind of explain this to you. This is a really good way of looking at it. We have what we call God stickers. Let me get my stuff here, okay? Appreciate all my kids helping me out today. But today, we have these things we call God stickers. All right. Let's hope this thing holds. All right. And we have this dream of things, how we think things should be in our life. And our dream is, first of all, we think of, you know, after we graduate high school, we got to get into our dream school, don't we? We got to get into our dream school, to our dream college, you know, na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. All you senior fans out there, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, we get into our dream college, and we graduate our dream college, and we get our degree. We get our degree, and we think, yeah, that's it. Man, I'm living the dream. I've got my degree now. I'm in college, and I got my degree. This is where I need to be. All right, I've accomplished this. This is my dream, to go to college, a good college I want to get into, and I want to get my degree. And now I get my degree so I can make what? I can make money, money, money. So we got all the money in there, man. Now we got a degree so we can get a good job, get our dream job so we can make dream salary. That's our dream. And then when we get that, we think what? They're in here somewhere, so I can find them. We have some other things going on here. Then we want to buy the dream car, don't we? We got the dream car we're going to get. Dun, 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 dun. You know what I'm talking about, baby. We get our dream car. And then, after we get our dream car, we're hoping, we're praying that the dream is here still. Okay, there it is, all right. Then we're praying to God, you send us the dream spouse in our life, okay? This one's already praising God. Hallelujah, right there. Just, she's thanking the Lord. I got me a man. Hallelujah. It's a Barbie world. Okay, we got anything going in there, okay. So we pray to God, we got the dream spouse for us, man. We got the dream date. We got the dream boyfriend or girlfriend. We got the dream husband or wife. And we have these dreams of the perfect spouse that we get married someday. And then we do all that, and we pray to God, you would give us our dream house, Lord. You got to give us our dream house. And Dora loves this dream house, okay? Let's see, expands, and it can grow with your children and your family. Okay, there you go. And so we got this dream house. Let's hope this dream stays up here. Okay, there we go. And so we got all these dreams that we have on, this dream of a career, this dream of job and making money, this dream of a dream house and dream car and a dream spouse and all these things that are our dream. And then what do? We look in here, first of all. Let me find our next prop so I can tell you where it's at. And it moved on me, so. We have all these things that we're dreaming, and we say that, you know what? I got to get a bigger box. That's what's going to happen. Let me pull this out here so I can get my box. Like, this is a good illustration. You're going to like it. We got a dream, and as we dream, and we do our own dream, there it is in the very bottom. That's what I get. And none of you guys come up here digging in this dream box and getting some dream money out after church, okay? Already reading your mind. Some of you guys are thinking. So we have this dream, and after we get all of our dreams accomplished or our goals set in our life, this is what we do. We come up to it, and we write on there, God's dream. And we write on all of our dreams, we write God's dream. And really, in all reality, that's so false, isn't it? This is not God's dream. This is never God's dream. This is my dream. This is my dream. This is the dream I've been taught since I was a very young age. I get toys for Christmas. I get taught, get a dream house. I get toys, you get taught, I want a dream car. We get taught, make good grades so you can go to a dream college and you can get a dream job and you can have a dream spouse and all these things that go along. And, you know, fairy tales of wedding and adventure, you know. You let girls, from the time you are just a very young age, you wear the towels around your neck and you're thinking of that dream wedding and you're practicing walking down the aisle. And we got all these things implanted in us about dreams in society. And we see this thing, and this is our dream. And then when we become a Christian, all of a sudden, this is God's dream. Oh, God's giving me a dream. Hallelujah. And we market God's dream. And this isn't God's dream at all. This is our dream. And God's got a dream over here, and how do I get into God's dream? God's got a separate dream right here about advancing the gospel. And this thing, a little sign up here says, God's dream. And God says, if you want to be in my dream, you don't take your stuff and throw it over here. That's not what God's looking for. God's not looking for you to take your stuff and to get on his dream by throwing it in his dream. What's God looking for? He said, listen, if you get in my dream, you're going to have to get into my dream, okay? You're going to have to learn to get into my dream. This is what God's looking for us, to get into God's dream, to dream his dream, to live out his dream. You're going to learn to get into God's dream. It's not about me putting my stuff into God's dream. It's about God saying, God, all right, God, I'm getting into your dream, and wherever you lead me, I'm going to go. God, whatever you give me, I'm going to give. Wherever you call me to work, I'm going to work. Wherever you call me to minister, I'm going to minister. God, how can I advance? You call me going to mission trip to Brazil, I'm going to go this year. I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but for now, I know this year, I got to get to Brazil. I got to know this year, I got to help buy some more chairs because we got to grow this place, and we got to get people at my job that need to be here and aren't here yet. We got things happening, and get on the board on God's dream. And this is really living, because what it come down to it is, if I can get out of here without falling out of God's dream, here we go, good. Is I'll get all this accomplished, and I'm still empty. I'll get all this accomplished, and it still brings no satisfaction. the loneliest people in the world who live this dream and accomplish this dream. And they say, this is all there is? This is it? I've been lied to all my life. I was told if I married this way, and I told if I was to accomplish this and receive this, that I would be happy. And it brings no happiness at all. Oh, it may bring short-term fulfillment, but in the long term, there's still an emptiness that's there. And you'll never be happy until you learn to get into the middle of God's dream. God has always designed happiness and fulfillment to come right here when I jump into God's dream for my life. And when I get here, it's an adventure, man, because I don't know what I'm getting into. I don't know everything I'm going to do. I don't know where God's going to send me. I don't know what God's going to call me to do. But I know this, if I am in God's dream, that he's going to direct my path. And he's going to fund what I need to be funded. And he's going to have the job I need. And he's going to lead me down the path that I know. And when I'm leading this dream right here, it's a path that leads me to God. It's a path that leads me for fulfillment in my life. And so we got this dream over here that we're saying is a dream. It's really not a dream. It's our dream. It's my dream. And today I'll ask you, whose dream are you really dreaming? Because if you want to live life to the fullest, you got to live God's dream. You know, one of the things we do in life, and I know that I've done this before, I made this mistake in my life, and a lot of people do this, is we use these God stickers. We write God on our dream. Or we do this. We will have, let's say maybe we had an inheritance, and we were given a house, and we decided to sell this house. And we sell this house off, and we make a $50,000 profit off this house. We had just made $50,000 of profit on this house. And we take our $50,000 and we say, you know what? I've always wanted this dream boat. And we go out and we buy a $50,000 boat. We pay cash for it. And then we'll come to church and we'll say, yeah, look what God's blessed me with. God's blessed me with a new boat. I paid cash for it. I paid cash, $50,000. And God blessed me with this boat. Let me say this. God didn't bless you with that boat. You blessed yourself with that boat. Some of you are thinking, well, Pastor, I don't understand that. Well, let's back up a little bit. Now, if I make a $50,000 profit, and I take $5,000 because God's asked me to give 10% to him, and I pay my tithe on the $5,000, then God says, I'm going to bless the rest of it, and you can do what you want. You can take the rest, and you can do what I'm telling you to. And maybe I'll take, instead of buying a $45,000 boat, I'll be smart and buy a $20,000 boat, and I'll begin to have a savings account for the first time in my life, and get some wisdom there and begin to get something going on here. See, there's wisdom. And God blesses that because I honor him first. Let's don't go out and say, well, God blessed me with this. And no, he didn't. You can't call this because you want to write your God sticker on it, God blessed you. We can't. Listen, guys, can we get real personal this morning? Can I step on our feet and toes this morning? Let's do that, okay? You guys know me. I love you, okay? We can't be in relationships that God's blessed me in this relationship and I'm living as though I'm married. And I'm not married? God's not blessing that. And God won't bless that. I can't go out here and sleep with everybody I date and expect God to bless me. God, you're going to send me the man I need. God, you're going to send me the woman I need. And I'm waiting patiently, God, for you to send the right person. And then begin to live according to his words so we can bless what you're doing. We can't get a relationship and live as though we're married and say, God has blessed me with this relationship. No, we gotta do things according to God's word to receive his blessing. Now, I know that's good this morning. Now, some of you are thinking, woo. But listen, we got to learn. We cannot just go out and do our own thing, and it's contradicting what God's word says, and then come back and say, God's blessed me with this person. Well, God's blessed you with that person, then live according to the blessing. If God's blessed you with the money, and then bless him according to what he's told you to do first. Honor him, and then let him bless you, and then you can do what you want. But don't go out here and tag it with something. God's blessed me with this, and I just honor God and everything he's told me to do. And so we got to quit using God tags for everything we do. We put the God tag on this and the God tag on this. I had some people all the time come to me, God told me to tell you this. I'm like, that's funny. God didn't tell me that. I had a guy walk in a while back, and he just walked in the middle of church, and I didn't know the guy from Adam. Said, hey, God told me to tell you something. He said, God told me to tell you that not to get comfortable here in this building, that he's going to move you out of here, and you're going to grow really fast and go. I'm thinking, you know, first of all, if you drive by our parking lot on Sunday, you can tell we're growing, so we don't have a lot of room to grow. So it didn't take a lot of wisdom to see that we're getting very full. The second thing was God told me we're going to need to be good stewards here, and we need to prepare to use this building to the max in multiple services. And God is going to, when we do that, when we get stewards of what we have, then God's got something for us in the future, and we don't need to worry about that because he's going to take care of that as we focus on what he's given us already and multiply it and be good stewards of what he's given us. Then God has something for us. And many times when people come to you and say, God's told me to tell you this, listen, if God's not speaking to you, don't always believe it, okay? What they tell you should line up to God's word. It should always line up and back up to God's word, and it should always confirm what God's already speaking to your life. Okay, that's just a little lesson one-on-one. But we have people who want to come and they want to stick God on this. God told me to tell you this. No, I want you to say, you're unhappy about this. Or, Pastor, God told me to tell you, we need more hymns in the church. I want you to say, no, God didn't tell you. You like hymns and you want more hymns, okay? There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with hymns. I'm just for example. But we'll use things that God told me to tell you that the church needs to have a dinner. No, you want to come and fellowship and eat. Don't say, God told you to tell me. Just say, I want to come and eat, Pastor. Let's eat. Let's just be real and be honest. Just don't stick a God tag on everything that we do and try to say that's what happens. That's not the way God works, okay? And so let's just be honest. This is what I want. And we see this happening in Scripture. This is kind of cool. We see this already happening in Scripture. We have this thing that we think we're called to be happy in our life. You know, we think, you know what? I'm called to be happy. You know, God's called me to be happy. God wants my happiness above anything else. And show me that in Scripture. I don't see that in Scripture. I see in Scripture when I get into his dream, when I step into God's dream, that I will be fulfilled and my joy will begin to overflow and I'll begin to run into a new fulfillment in life. But I don't see her above all else. God wants me to be happy in life. Because if we do that, then that comes right here. Oh, this makes me happy. This is what God wants. No, God wants you to be here. And when I'm here, it brings true fulfillment in my life. It'll bring happiness in my life. Are you following me this morning? Say amen. All right. So don't play the God card about everything we do. We can't say that, you know what, God told me he wants me to be happy so I can divorce this person and go find somebody else that makes me more happy. I seen a minister get up one time on TV and said that very same thing. God told me that he had a woman for me that's better for my ministry. And so I divorced my wife and I married another woman next month. I'm like, God didn't tell you that because that goes against God's word. You're a false prophet, dude. You're speaking not the truth of God's word. And so what we stick God's tag on, it should always align up to God's word. It's not about me saying this because God said it. Listen, don't use that baloney in your life and don't believe those who say that about everything. God has got a plan for your life. God has got a plan for your life. And it's when we step into his plan and we receive the blessing that God has for us. It's like us going to, you know, some of these comedians that get up and they use God's name in vain 1,000 times in their performance. And they use the F-bomb and do all this. And then after their performance, they give, God bless you. Thank you very much. You know, like, what is that, you know? Or they get up to receive their awards, you know, and their lyrics are so, you know, X-rated. And it goes against everything that's moral in society and against God's word. And they get up, first of all, I just got to thank my Lord Jesus Christ and Savior. I'm thinking, you know, what is wrong with this picture? You're sticking God's blessing on your sin. You're sticking God's blessing on a thing that defies his word. Just because you get up and say, I want to thank God, doesn't mean God's blessing it. Just because I get up and say, I want to thank God, doesn't mean I'm a Christian. Just because I get up and I want to thank God, doesn't mean I'm walking in the blessings of God. Let's don't stick a God sticker on everything that we do in life and say, oh, God's blessing it. Let's don't get into that habit of doing that or believing those things that are happening. We're living out the dream. Genesis 15. You didn't think I'd get there, did you? Okay, let's go back to Genesis 15, 5. Look what it says here. Abraham, he's childless and he's an old guy. He's way beyond his childbearing years. And he's got all the millions of dollars and all the possessions that he could ever want in life. And God looks at this. Says, look up to the heavens and count the stars. Look up to the heavens, count the stars. If needed, you can count them. So shall your offspring be. So here's Abraham, he's fatherless. God's saying, listen, you got all those other things, but let me just blow your thinking. Look up into the stars. See all of the thousands and even the millions of stars you can't count and see. He says, so shall your offspring be. I'm talking about blowing away his thinking. I'm talking about blowing away and stretching his dream. God's saying, listen, dude, I'm going to ready to stretch you in a way you haven't been stretched in a long time. I'm going to just blow away your thinking. I'm going to send you. Look what it says. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited to him his righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord. Remember that. I am the Lord. Your dreams start with God. Let me just say that. Your dreams start with God, who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans and gave you this land to take possession of it. And so we see here what God is saying to Abraham, listen, dude, I'm going to give you more kids you can count. I'm going to give you, see the stars? That's how your descendants are going to be. And Abraham's like, dude, God, I don't even have a son, man. I don't have any children, man. Sarah, man, she's beyond childbearing years. We can't do this. But God says, listen, I am your God, and I'm making you a promise. I want you to dream. I want you to see. Let me tell you something about this. When you start dreaming, the devil starts scheming. When you start dreaming, the devil will start scheming. Because as soon as God gives you a God-given dream in your life, as soon as you get into the God barrel of your life, then the devil's going to say, uh-oh, I don't like that. I feel much better when you're over here, preoccupied with these things in life. I like it a lot better when you dream about the dream house. I like it better when you're occupied about the dream car, about the dream job. I like it better because when you're over here, you're not doing much damage to my kingdom. But over there, woo, I don't like that because that's going to advance the gospel. You got a dream. And he's thinking, I had a dream one time, and he got squashed. I got kicked out of heaven. I can't dream no longer. And so my dream is to make sure you don't dream. His dream is to make sure you don't accomplish what he could never accomplish anymore. And so he's out to scheme, to kill, to steal, and destroy what God has set in your heart. And so today, when we start dreaming, the devil starts scheming. Knowing this, that Satan is at work as soon as we start to dream God's dreams. We've all heard of this thing called the Promised Land, and we've heard it said about the Promised Land. And this is what the Promised Land always goes back to Abraham. This is the very promise that was given to Abraham, that God was going to give him this land, that God was going to give him an inheritance to his people. Let me say this to you, that when they were there and they got all the way to the Promised Land, they're getting right to the edge of taking over the Promised Land. They're there at the title office and they're ready to sign over the Promised Land to the children of Israel. God says, wait a minute, Moses. He goes, take 12 spies and send them out. Take one tribe member who represents each tribe and send them out and let's bring them back to report. And so before they sign on the dotted line and take over possession of the Promised Land, they send out all the spies. The spies came back on the secret Renaissance mission. Let me tell you this, a dream without action is a nightmare. A dream without action is a nightmare. So remember that. That a dream is just not something out there, but you got to have action to your dream. God is leading you to do things toward this dream. It's not some pie in the sky that's never accomplished. A dream's got to have action behind it. And so here's this dream that God has given them. It's godly inheritance. He's promised Abraham, the children of Israel, now walking in this dream, are now getting ready to take over the land that God had promised, even all the way back to Abraham. And this is what happens. He says, hey, before you take it over, send out 12 spies. And of course, we know the story. They all came back. And when they came back, it says that 10 of them had a bad report. Look what it says here. Numbers 13:32 says, and they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. Don't you like the word they? I've heard that before said to me as a leader, as a pastor. Pastor, they are upset, or they don't like this, or they. Who are the they? Usually it's just one or two. You know, we had 10 people out of over the million that were there that were speaking about this, okay? Now, we see this. It says, and they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. So they get to the thing, and they're ready to close the dream. They're ready to walk into the inheritance, and we see now, they're like, ah! It says they begin to say, you know what? We can't go further. They were there, and they begin to say, you know what? We can't do this. And it says they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. Listen, let me tell you this, that when you get ready to take something over, a dream, that you're going to have people around you, you're going to spread bad reports. When you step into God's dream, you're going to have family members. You're going to have people close to you say, what are you doing? This is the dream right here. And you're going to say, no, I'm going to step into God's dream for my life. And when that happens, you're going to have those say, you'll fail. You'll never make it right there. You'll be by yourself right there. You're going to be isolated right there. You'll never be anything right there. And the negative people begin to speak. Usually it's those who are very close to you. People who you think will be your strongest supporters sometimes will be out of ignorance or out of fear, begin to speak negative to your life. And so you got to be ready for that. This is what happened. They're ready to take over the promised land. And what happens? The negative report comes back, and people begin to speak it with the negativity. And fear, it says fear gripped the land. And all the people are going to get fearful in their life. And so whenever you get fearful, whenever I get fearful, this faith fight, we live and dream. What do? We have to have a choice. We have to either feed our fear or we feed faith. We're either going to feed our fear or feed faith. Let me tell you this. A fear is a very natural reaction. That when I begin to think about stepping in God's dream, I step in God's dream, it can be very fearful at times when you're first stepping out. It's a very fearful thing. That's a natural thing. But do you feed your fear and go back to here? Or do you say, no, I'm going to feed my faith. And say, you know what? I am a little scared, but I know this, that God be for me, who can be against me? If God's leading me, then I know he's going to lead me on the path I need to be on. If God's directing me, then greater is this path than any path I can lead myself. So yeah, it's a little fearful because it's unknown in my life, but it's also adventurous. So I know that God's going to build my faith in this path right here. And so we can either feed our fear or we can feed our faith. I'm going to show you a clip here today. My very first sermon I showed you an illustration of the bucket list of the two guys that were trying to live out their dream. They had just a short time to live, both of them given a short time to live, had terminal cancer. And one happened to be Jack Nicholson, who is a multi-billionaire, and the other happened to be Morgan Freeman, who is just a mechanic. And Jack says, hey, man, let's get together and let's go on this world adventure. Let's live out our dream. Let's just do everything we ever wanted to do. Make a list and let's do it before we die. And so we see him here getting ready to face their fears. Why don't you go ahead and show this clip.
Always been afraid to go up in an airplane. Now I'm going to jump out of one at the whim of a maniac.
Want to get it?
How do you suggest we do that? Wait! Ow! Not a word! Back to the seat, Kyle!
You'll have to forgive him, Kyle! He's worried about the little woman!
This has nothing to do with my wife!
30 seconds to drop! The sequel was like that! She never backed me up on anything!
The sequel?
The second Mrs. Edward Cole! God, that woman hated me!
Maybe because you called her the sequel!
15 seconds!
No, wait! I can't do this!
Sure you can!
No! I can't! Really! No!
Let's hit the seal! Geronimo!
We all have fears in our life. We got to learn. We're going to face our fears. So sometimes we're like that. It's almost like right there. We're like, I can't do it. And he's like, yes, you can. Sometimes you got to strap yourself onto God's parachute and God and say, God, you're going to have to push me over. And sometimes it's that way in our life that we have fears and we have to face those fears in our life. And this is what happened. As God's getting ready to unleash the promise, the fear began to set in. The 12 spies said, listen, we're just like grasshoppers in their sight. These people are huge. There's no way we could beat them. There's no way. They forget so much what God had already done in their life. They forget that God had already delivered them through so much and done so many miracles. He'd already parted the Red Sea and done so many things to defeat their enemy. And now they're worried at the last minute about fear. They were giving in to their fear once again. Instead of saying, you know what? God's always brought us through. God would not bring us this far to leave us. We're right here at the edge of the promise. God's going to do it. Instead of walking in faith and feeding that faith, they fed their fear and said, listen, we're just grasshoppers in their sight. And it says when they begin to spread this negativity with their mouth and their tongue, how many know that a tongue's a big weapon, isn't it? But it's a big, big tool in our life. When we begin to spread the bad talk and they begin to talk, we can't do it. We can't accomplish it. We're like grasshoppers. We're little. They're so big. It says that people grow fearful. And not only do they get fearful, now they're ready to stone Moses and Caleb and Joshua. They're ready to take these guys and Aaron and take all these leaders and let's just kill them all, man. They brought us here. I mean, you talk about the negative going from inheriting the promise, and now they're all of a sudden they're going, let's kill the leaders, man. They brought us here and we're going to die and we can't accomplish this. I mean, negative thought. And when you feed your fear, that's what happened. When you allowed your fears to be fed and the negativity to come out of that, it will destroy God's dream in your life. And this is what happened. Because of that fear being fed, all those people, all that generation spent 40 years dying off in the desert. And it was the next generation who had to step up, being led by the ones who were positive, Joshua and Caleb. They were the ones who inherited the promise that God had for them. They're the ones who inherited God's dream because they allowed the negativity not to affect them, because they seen God's faith as their faith. They seen God's dream as their dream. They didn't say, you know what, we can go over here and live. They said, no, we're going to live God's dream to the fullest. And because of their faith, they inherited the dream that God had for them. And man, it blew their mind. They inherited the best land. And it fulfilled the promise that God was doing in Abraham, that God has given to Abraham. Listen today, as we get ready to close, that things are going to happen to discourage you. Numbers 14:9 says this. Don't rebel against the Lord. This is Joshua and Caleb speaking. Don't be afraid of the people, because we will swallow them. Their protection is gone, but we will. The Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. And we see here where Joshua and Caleb are saying, listen, don't feed the fear. God is more than able to lead us. And now the generation steps up to the plate. And we see at the very end that when this generation steps forward to inherit the promise, that God tells them something very important here. Three times. Now, when God says something one time, it's important. But when God repeats himself, then you know it's really important. But when God says it three times, we should all go, all right, McFly, okay? Get this right here. God's trying to speak to us about something. And we see three times God give them instruction on how to enter the promise, how to live the dream. And look what it says here. He says to be strong and courageous. Joshua 1:6-9 says, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to the forefathers to give them. Look what he says again. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you, and do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep going. Next scripture. Don't not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything that's written in it. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. When you're living God's dream, when you're seeing God's plan fulfilled in your life, that's what happens. God says, listen, you get right here, get in the middle of this thing. He says, be strong and courageous. Don't give in to the fear of the world. Don't give in to the thing you know, but be strong and courageous. Be of faith. Be of good cheer. Know this, that when you obey, when you obey, you meditate on the word of God. Listen, God's plan for my life, the dreams, they'll always, God's dream will always follow God's word. Will always be backed up by God's word. And when I follow God's word for my life and I get into God's dream, it will lead me to places and adventures, to a promised land that's bigger than I could ever dream. When I get to this place, these things will seem so small compared to what God has for me. These things will seem so distasteful in my mouth, in my spirit, because I've gotten what God has for me. I'm getting what God has for me. I'm receiving the blessing that God has for me. And it's going to bring a satisfaction. Now, it may mean you're getting 10 times what's in this box, because God said, I want you to use it to resource people. I want you to use it to reach the gospel. And he may bless you that way. Maybe he'll bless you in a way where you can resource missionaries and other people and other ministries and be a blessing to the poor and be a blessing to those who need help. Maybe he'll bless you in a place where you can give car to people who lose their cars. Maybe he'll bless you where you can help get someone a home who's lost the foreclosure. You see, there's a difference between living your dream and living God's dream. Many times these things go hand in hand, but they're used differently. I want to live God's dream. I want God to stretch my thinking. I want my children to know that, man, we're going to live God's dream for our life. And that's an adventure. And, man, that's bigger than we could ever think of. Yeah, we have dreams and we have things we want to accomplish. We have goals, but all those come and they are inspired and they start right here in the middle of God's presence, in the middle of God's dream for my life. And I allow him to bring the person of my life that I want. I allow him to God's words that God, I'm putting myself in your dream. I'm going to allow you to bring me the person that you have for me. You're going to bring me my dream spouse. You're going to guide me to my dream job. You're going to lead me to my dream ministry. See, these are things that happen when I line up, because I'm going to live according to your word. I'm going to follow after your dream. Because over here, I live my own dream, and then I try to put God's name on it. And it's just a cheap imitation. Never brings fulfillment. And you'll go from house to house, car to car, spouse to spouse. But you get over here, and you'll walk in the fullness of what God has for you, and you'll say, this is a good place to be. That's what God's designed me to live. I ask you again today, whose dream are you living? Let's bow our heads this morning. Today, with every head bowed, I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes a minute. I'm going to ask you a question that I ask so many times here, because it's ultimately the most important question of the day. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Are you here today and say, Pastor, you're talking about God's dream. I'm not even living for God. I'm living my own thing, and I'm not even living for God at all. And today, I just feel something in my heart compelling me to make a change. I feel my spirit today being drawn to the cross of Jesus. I've got to start, first of all, just saying I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If you're here today and no one's looking around, you say, Pastor, today I want to ask Jesus Christ into my life. I will not embarrass you in any way. No one's looking but me. I just want to give you chances to raise your hands and say, today, Pastor, I want to make things right with God. Can you just lift your hand where you're at and say, that's me? Thank you. Anybody else today? Thank you for the hand. Anybody else says, that's me? I want to accept Jesus Christ. Can you raise your hand one more time for me? Today, let's say this prayer together before we go any further, because we had those who raised their hands this morning. So let's all just say this prayer in our heart. Let's say it out loud. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you everything I am. I give it to you. I receive now your forgiveness, your grace, your mercy into my life. I confess you as Lord of my life. I will live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today and you meant it, I say welcome to the family of God. Yeah, can we give him a hand clap? Yeah. Before you leave today, we have a special packet for you. If you prayed that prayer, we got a free Bible in there and some other material that tells you what to do next. We'll have this at the very back. We got them at the very back there. We'll have them ready for you to stop by the back and receive those as you leave. I'm going to invite you to stand with me today. As you stand today, I'm going to close this out in prayer. How many today, you keep your eyes open and your heads up, and just ask you, to honestly say, Pastor, today I'm just really challenged. I want to learn to live God's dream in my life. I want to learn to live God's dream and not allow society to push me to live my own dream, what they tell me. But I want to learn today. I want to be honest to God today. I want to learn to live God's dream. I want God just to stretch my thinking, push me beyond my limits. I want to learn to live and step myself into the blessing place that is God's dream. Instead of trying to create my own blessing and put God on there, I'm ready today to step away from that and say, God, I want what you have for me. I want your blessing for my marriage. I want your blessing for my family, for my job, for my life, for my ministry. Anything today, I want to walk in that blessing today. One more time, can you raise your hands? That's me, Pastor. God's calling me today and talking to me. Yeah, several hands everywhere. I'm going to pray this closing prayer over you. Father, I thank you for everyone here today, especially those who raised their hands and said they want to begin to learn to live your dream, to walk in your dream. God, I pray today would be a day of new beginnings in our life. As we begin to step into the dream that God, you have for us, that we would lay aside our own selfish things that maybe we want to do. And God, we say, let you lead us, God. Let you direct us. And God, today we want to live the dream that you have for us. And your dream will always lead us to advancing the gospel in some way in our life. Because every one of us have that call in our life. Every one of us are called to advance your gospel. Every one of us are called to go and to make disciples. Every one of us are called to go and to share the love of Christ in our life. And so your dream will always lead us to sharing the gospel in creative ways. And I just pray to Father that we would line up to your dream today. We come against the spirit of selfishness, the spirit of society, of peer pressure. And we get, the Lord tells us this is the dream. And God, we say today we want to reject that dream. We want to step in to the fullness of God's dream for our life. Because it's only there we find true happiness. It's only there we find fulfillment that you called us to walk in. And God, we believe today you're going to stretch our thinking. You're going to blow us away, God, what you have for us. And we say together, amen, amen. God bless you today. Wednesday night, listen, Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we kick off the Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University. If you have not picked up your books and you pay for those, Kent and Christy will have those up at the front desk for you, waiting for you. Make sure you let her know if you want to go on the mission trip to Brazil as well. We're going to kick off at 7 o'clock here. We have a Bible study in the coffee shop being led also. If you're not in the Financial Peace University, you can stop there for that. God bless you.